We are now on paper 15. Core inventories.
Thank you.
And Irina, this is your first time.
Yep.
Here. Standard rules, we have to be nice to Irina. We won't after this, but for the first time, we have to be nice.
Thank you. The committee received the request to clarify the classification of co-inventories held in an entity's own facilities. The key characteristics of co-inventories are their use, their necessary to start operating a production facility, and their physical form. They are commingled with other inventories. The question of the submission is whether such assets should be accounted as inventories or as property, plant, and equipment. We performed outreach on this topic. The feedback received from the IFAS members and global accounting firms is presented in paragraphs 13 to 23. We also received two responses from securities regulators that are not included in the paper. The responses reconfirmed our conclusion that the issue is common, even though the amounts concerned are not so material in some cases. Three IOSCO members thought that both views are acceptable. One of them mentioned that classification would depend on the fact whether co-inventories are consumed or whether they are necessary to bring a PPE item to its required operating condition. One respondent noted that the prevalent practice is to capitalize co-inventories through PPE or other long-term asset item. Based on our technical analysis, we conclude that co-inventories constitute an element of PPE cost under paragraph 16b of IS 16, as they are necessary to bring to start operating a production facility. We think that existing standards contain the basis for classification of co-inventories. Consequently, we don't recommend that the committee should take this issue onto its agenda. The question for the committee is whether you agree with our conclusion and recommendation, and if yes, do you agree with the wording of the tentative agenda decision as set out in Appendix A? Thank you.
Laurent?
I understand that there is quite a lot of diversity on this topic. So the first thing is I don't think that an agenda decision to resolve such a diversity is the appropriate means. I don't think that using an agenda decision to resolve diversity is the appropriate meaning in the present circumstances, because diversity is huge. Second thing, I don't think that the definition of what is core inventory or what you would be capturing with the proposed treatment is sufficiently clear. I had already some feedback of people saying, oh, I'm not captured by the definition, whereas I could read in the paper that it was thought they were captured. So I think that those who want not to be captured will read it very clearly. We will find a way to say, I'm not captured. So I think that the definition does not work well. I also believe that there has not been sufficiently demonstration why the scope in IS 2 is not met and why IS 16 scope applies only. You have statements you make in paragraph 34 and paragraph 36, but these are statements. You don't give reasons for those statements. Finally, I don't understand the write-off argument. If certain of those items are classified as inventory, I don't capture it because I can see a flow, and the item that you have at one point in time will be sold in the very near future. So why would you have an immediate write-off? And so I'm not convinced at all by the fact that this, what you propose in the agenda decision, is going to provide more relevant information compared to what is currently being done when some of those elements are classified as inventory. But I believe that first I like to understand what elements you would be capturing, and so clarification about the definition of those elements that would be captured. Because, for instance, those who have pipelines fuel or oil, they say, okay, yeah, you need maybe to permit production at the beginning, but it can be physically separated from other inventories. You just push it as it can be physically, you can remove it, so I'm not scoped in. And I would have thought that the oil pipeline fill was covered by that. Same thing for gas. I had people who told me, well, you know, in the gas tank, depends on the contracts I have with third parties or GV partners, can put at the beginning, but in the end, if I have those agreements with the parties or the partners, they can put their own only, and so mine is gone. So I won't be using it through the whole useful life of the facilities. I have the nuclear fill, sorry, which is being replaced every 18 months or 24 months. So I think, not sure that I meet the characteristics that you highlight here. So I'm questioning here what elements are we capturing here, or what is considered to be core inventories. So I am not supportive.
I figured that. Kaz?
I wanted to be nice, but I'm afraid I cannot support the staff review. I basically agree with what Lorenz said. I'm not convinced that I think it's we need to clarify further, because it seems like it looks like meet a kind of certain level of a definition of IS-16, but I think my understanding of the core inventories, for example, is a certain level of oil or gas needs to be maintained to keep the production of the oil or gas. And in such case, such oil or gas are commingled to the final outputs. So in that sense, I think in the definition of an inventory, IS-2, paragraph 6 of C, assets in the form of materials of suppliers to be consumed in the production process or in the rendering of services. So it seems like that meets the definition of that inventory. So I can understand how staff define the PP&E, but referring to that is just I think element of the cost, which is a measurement description, which is that's the area I'm not convinced so much. So I think we need kind of further, because there are diversity in practice already, so I think we need to analyze further.
Okay, I have Andrew, Martin, and Luca.
Yeah, I'll be okay with the general direction of the agenda decision, mainly on the basis of what I've seen. The kind of textbook examples of core inventories do seem to be cushion gas in a storage cavern and line pack in a pipeline. And certainly from what I've seen and read, the predominant practice is PP&E classification. You know, conceptually, I do think it depends on how you see it. Do you take account of the fact that this gas or liquid is continually being replenished and coming out the other end of the pipe and being sold to customers, or do you treat it as just the same stuff and therefore part of the PP&E? But I think if we want to go down a road of predominant practice, then I've seen limited diversity, and PP&E does seem to be the predominant classification for those sectors.
Martin?
I also believe that the wording of the staff drives into the right direction. Specifically, if I go through the proposed wording, the last bullet point for me is important. It can be only removed when the production facility is finally decommissioned or at considerable financial charge. Well, one might discuss about what is a considerable finance charge, for sure. I guess if you have any alternative depending on market mechanism to say, okay, I'm pushing it out of my pipeline and I'm selling it, so I have an empty pipeline and I have a extraordinary gain or so, and next time I flood my pipeline again with oil and gas, then for sure I would say it's not core inventory. If this kind of arbitrage possibilities in the production process exist. However, if I do not really have arbitrage possibilities and my overall production process is related to this core inventory, for example, metal melting or so, yeah, you have 200 people working there, you would never ever sell out your whole bassin of metal just because you have a market arbitrage. Yeah, there I would purely say this is core inventory and therefore would be accounted for in line with IAS 16. So probably we have to look a little bit more on this borderline, and I might agree on this. What is core inventory and not? But overall, with the direction that core inventory, specifically if it is used over a very long time, is accounted for according to IAS 16, would be well in line with my view.
Luca?
I agree with the staff recommendation and with the analysis performed, probably because the sector that is more familiar for me in the oil and gas, this is the practice that we generally use, and I confirm to Andrew that it's normal for the pipelines, but also for the storage activities on the gas field too. So this is how the industry look at this kind of core inventories, because they are absolutely part of the machine, of the items that you need. Without those core inventories, you have a beautiful pipeline, but doesn't work. So it's absolutely something unusual. And even in the transaction that I have seen regarding the passage of big pipeline, especially in transports of gas, the parts of core inventories is a bulk that is included in the prices, because it's a raw material that is necessary for the production of the services of the pipeline. This is the way in which the industry look at this kind of item. So I agree with the conclusion of the staff.
Tony, and then Scott.
I was much the same place. I understand that there may be some questions if the nature is not as it is defined in the staff paper, but if what we have is as defined in the staff paper or in the agenda decision, then it feels to me like it's something that ought to be in IAS 16.
Scott?
I also agreed with the staff's analysis. This sounds like part of the equipment to me rather than inventory, so I think staff's headed in the right direction. Whether this can be done in an agenda decision or needs to be something greater, I'm not sure I have a good feel on. My sense is that there is a fair amount of diversity here, which might lead towards something other than an agenda decision, but I don't feel, I wouldn't feel bad about doing it in an agenda decision either. People that I've talked to that have this issue actually would prefer to account for it as PP&E, put it in inventory. It really messes with your inventory turn statistics, because you've got an amount of inventory that never turns.
Okay, on the phones, I think Fei Long signed off. John?
I don't disagree with the staff analysis, and in my experience, this tends to be, these types of inventories, core inventories, tend to be accounted for as PP&E. I have two concerns, I suppose. One is the definition of core inventories. I mean, we sort of all know, or I think we know what it refers to from our own experience, but I think, don't think that's enough to sort of provide clarity in the standard, because there are lots of production processes where there's a minimum number, amount of inventory always required to be in the process in order for it to continue to function, which in many cases we mightn't consider to be core inventories. The ones we traditionally think of are the ones that are identified in the paper, the cushion gas and the pipeline fill, et cetera. But I think there are lots of other situations in production processes where something could be interpreted or as also being core inventory. So I think that would have to be better defined. Secondly, I think this is interpretive, so I'm not sure this is just a rejection agenda decision. Seems to me this is an interpretation of the requirements of IAS 2 and IAS 16. So I think it should be taken on as an agenda item.
Julie?
Not much to add other than just the high-level observation that it wouldn't be probably intuitive if you call them core inventories and then the rejection says it's obvious that, you know, their PP&E is the accounting model. It's kind of a disconnect between the headline of the name and what the model is. So maybe that says there is a little more than a rejection here.
I think yesterday when we were discussing this, somebody said, what part of the word inventory is it that people don't understand? But Sandy?
I felt a little bit differently about it, but what I wasn't clear was the degree to which users of the financial statements could actually discern that this existed. Is it labeled? I haven't seen it, so in the financial statements, but I haven't gone looking, and I don't generally deal with manufacturing companies. But to me, I guess the question, and maybe that's a question for ESMA, is as users of the financial statements, can you actually see the degree to which this is a part of PP&E or a part of inventories and the degree to which they might assess a different value to it, so that if it was something that was basically valued at a much lower cost, that you could assign a value to the business if you felt you needed to for it?
Don?
This is identified by a regulator in one of the European countries, so it is obvious you can see it in the financial statements. And then we discussed it, and then it appeared that more and enforcers encountered this issue. This, there are financial statements. You can see it. Otherwise, we wouldn't have recognized.
See it in discussions with them, or you can see it in, it's labeled this.
It was labeled.
It's labeled this.
Yep.
And the value it's and how it's accounted for is clearly labeled.
I guess as far as I know, it was not in the oil and gas industry.
It was another industry, yeah.
So in the oil and gas industry, you can't see
right.
the value it's held, the amount that it is, and what you might assign it a different value.
Okay. Andrew and then Laurence?
I was just going to say that I think you can generally see it when it's classified as PP&E, because it will be covered by a particular useful life and the depreciation disclosure, for example. Sometimes the agenda decision talks about it, whether it's a component of the cost of a larger item of PP&E, but I've seen entities that treat it as a standalone, separate item of PP&E as well, which might have some consequences for the decision or amendment. I'm not sure you can always see it if it's just included in inventory.
So it's labeled core inventory in PP&E?
It's labeled cushion gas or a line pack as an item of PP&E.
Jean?
I don't disagree with the answer to just on the topic of whether that's a candidate for interpretation. I would think so, because it's not obvious to me why two standards could apply, actually, and we kind of arbitraging and saying you should apply in the following circumstances, you should apply 16. So I think in the past, when we dealt with these similar issues or two standard can apply, it was made in the context of an interpretation. So I would think this one would fall into that category.
Okay. Philippe, you want to come in, and then Laurence, and then I'm going to try and draw a conclusion here.
I have a question in practice. If you say it's part of the cost of the facility, it's an element of the facility, so the initial cost that you put on your books is the initial cost of that piece of inventory which reclassified to PP&E. And presumably this cost element will not be revalued over time, because there is an entry cost, and you will assume that, and given that the quantity in the system remains the same, which I think is an assumption for a core inventory, that it is not moving up and down. It has to remain more or less in proportion to the facility that uses such inventory. But the cost is not revalued, right? So after some time, that element of the cost is quite undervalued. And if it happened to be sold, then the value to be realized would be probably higher than the cost. But there would be no revaluation of that item. So I think the disclosure here is quite important, although it is not supposed to be sold separately. So maybe there is limited value in that information, because you sell it only with the property itself, I suppose, unless you shut down the installation, and then you can maybe sell separately. But so what kind of disclosure would be useful here?
I was just saying that I was asking that question because I haven't looked at a lot of manufacturing companies, so, or oil and gas companies. So I was trying to discern what in fact was there, and if they do close something down, then is that realizable? You know, how much is it? I'm not familiar with the concept, so I was asking to the degree to which you could actually see it at all in the financial statements, so that users of the financial statements could say, okay, well, do I ask a question about this? Do I assign it some value? Do I disregard it? Or is it just buried and you can't see it? That was what I was trying to discern. So that a user could decide what they wanted to do with it.
Okay. Ronce, Martin, and that is the end.
Yeah, in terms of diversity of practice, I think it may depend on the industries, but even in oil and gas, I'm aware of gas, where practices are not necessarily consistent. In the nuclear industry, I'm aware that consistently everybody classifies as inventory, not PP&E. And in gold refining as well, I've heard that it's classified as inventory, not PP&E. So I would not be so supportive of people who say, well, there is no diversity and so on. And the point that may be important for users is indeed, if I'm thinking of gold, the price of gold, so if it is the price of gold of a line you put in service in 1920, and you may have a bunch of gold into that manufacturing line, wouldn't you be interested in knowing the value of that gold? And I'm being told that indeed they might use that gold, in fact. So also I had that question about, is it always the same quality of the mineral or the product? And I'm not sure that, but perhaps Luca can answer better than I, that the crude oil I have is the same quality from the one I put at the beginning versus the one, say, 5 years after, or 10 years after, or 20 years after. And in that case, is it appropriate that it's still the same value that is being recognized on the books?
Well, I'd say the same about property.
Yeah, I think residual value would probably take care of that at the appreciation, through depreciation. Yeah, I mean, you would expect depreciation expense to be close to zero if you, because the residual value would be always equal. So,
in this case, then yes.
So it would only be that would not answer the concern about gold that was purchased in 1920.
No, it would only be about the quality.
Okay. Now, Martin and Tan, and then we really are going to stop.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not specialist for the nuclear power industry. However, I guess what you put in the nuclear power plants and what you take out is different in a way. I wouldn't say it is the same, because you need to rebuild it in a way in some specific places, and this is you need to transport it, and it is extreme costly to bring it in the same condition as it was before.
So at a considerable finance charge.
Yeah, I would.
So sculpting.
Believe it's anyhow. On the other hand, I guess I hear the sounding about silent reserves or something like this with regard to gold and your example of 1920. I would assume the same applies to real estate where I have my production plant on. The same applies, for example, to catalysts or other issues which I need in my production process and which I probably could get out of the production process at a later point in time and sell them separately. So in terms of a component approach thinking, we might have many other issues in the production process where, depending on value development, I might have and develop silent reserves later on. Gold is an extreme example. I agree with this. It is a kind of commodity. Yes, agreed. However, specifically for production and within production processes, I have also other items where I have the same issue and where I'm not forced to give an additional or extraordinary disclosure on for the fair value.
Tom?
Yeah, when we read this agenda decision, it is rather clear that IS2 seems to be incorrect in the application. And next week, the week after, we have a discussion within WECS, and I suppose we will discuss this possible decision, if this will be enforceable in terms of, is there a prior period error when you would have applied IS2?
I would not reach the conclusion that IAS2 is self-evidently the wrong answer. I think Laurence has given us, for the second time today, a series of arguments that I agree with, which does have to be a record. But that notwithstanding, I think she's raised some valid points about different types of situations in different industries outside of just the oil and gas pipeline example, which is kind of the gimme, the one that's relatively easy. It starts to go downhill fast, it seems to me, from there. I have heard a couple of other things. First, we can't hang it on a lack of diversity, because there is diversity in opinion. And I think that was a couple of people made that point. Then we are left with, have we got the definition of what a core inventory is down pat? And I remember back in the dark ages even writing papers about base stock inventory, which strikes me as very, very similar to this. And then, on top of that, several people have said this is not, when we have to decide between which standard to apply, it's not an agenda rejection notice, it's an interpretation. Who would object to us taking this forward on the agenda as a potential interpretation? Going to have to spend a lot more work around definition, in addition to decide then the decision of which standard it belongs to. But who would object to carrying it forward on our agenda with the objective of it being to produce an interpretation? John?
No, I would not object.
Hey, Julie, view on that?
I'm fine with taking it forward as a potential interpretation. I think that's consistent with my observation that it might not be so obvious, PP&E, given the title of it, nature of it.
Okay, that's what we'll do. You now have a career.